This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. Coming up this hour.
One of the Federal Reserve's resident skeptics strikes an optimistic tone about the U.S. economy, fueling speculation about a March hike.
A weaker yen sends stocks in Japan higher as oil continues its losing streak.
Snap Incorporated goes public at a valuation at least twice that of Facebook.
President Trump's new attorney general faces calls to resign over contacts with Russia during the campaign. I'm Nathan Hager. That story and more coming up.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Knicks come up big in Orlando, and the Giants will look at one of the NFL's most polarizing running backs.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures are little changed to lower this morning, this after the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed above 21,000 for the first time. Dow futures are down 2 points this morning. NASDAQ futures down about 4. S&P futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. The CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100 both down about 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.9%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury is down 1/32nd. The yield 2.45%. The yield on the 2-year 1.28%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 43 cents to $53.40 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.40 to $12.44.60 an ounce. The euro $1.0524. The yen 114.20.
One of the Federal Reserve's biggest skeptics has signaled the U.S. economy may be strong enough to withstand an interest rate increase soon. Governor Lyle Brainard, speaking yesterday at Harvard, said the U.S. economy appears to be in transition.
We're closing in on full employment. Inflation is moving gradually toward our target. Foreign growth is on more solid footing, and risks to the outlook are as close to balanced as they have been for some time. All told, it will likely be appropriate soon to remove additional accommodation, continuing on a gradual path.
Federal Reserve Governor Lyle Brainard. The Fed Funds futures market is currently pricing in an 86% chance of a March rate hike.
For a look at how Asian markets close today, let's go to Juliet Sally in our Hong Kong Bureau.
Bob and Karen, Asian investors picked up the baton from the Dow 21,000-point run, sending equities across the Asia-Pacific rim higher on Thursday. Lael Brainard's hawkish comments boosted the dollar, weighing again on the Japanese yen. That saw the topics close at a 14-month high. The Nikkei 225 briefly touched the 19,600-point level before closing at 19,564. That was a gain of close to 1%. However, in Hong Kong, the Hang Seng paired all its gains after briefly topping 24,000, and Chinese shares traded in Hong Kong retreated further. Stocks on the mainland also fell ahead of this weekend's NPC in Beijing, the Shanghai Composite lower by 0.5%. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. China's banking regulator outlined wide-ranging efforts to rein in financial risks, including clamping down on shadow lending and curbing funding for property speculation. The new chairman of the China Banking Regulatory Commission, only 3 days into the job, says he plans to plug loopholes in regulations for cross-market financial products and update rules that no longer fit with banks' current business and risk management.
For a look at European markets, we're joined live by Mark Barton in our London bureau. Good morning, Mark.
Bob and Karen, good morning. Roche shares rising the most since 2008 after its breast cancer medicine Perjeta succeeded in the drug maker's most hotly anticipated patient study. Sales of Herceptin and Perjeta could reach $9 billion by 2021, analysts estimated before the results were made public today. AB InBev chief executive Carlos Brito will miss out on a bonus for the first time since 2008. 2008 after earnings at the Budweiser maker missed analyst estimates for a seventh straight quarter. Fourth quarter results missed estimates at almost all levels as the brewer continues to struggle with the slump in its key market of Brazil. And Swiss economic momentum fell short of expectations in the fourth quarter. Investment declined. Exports recorded their weakest quarterly result in nearly 2 years. GDP expanded 0.1%, matching the pace of the third quarter. 0.4% was forecast. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Mr. Barton, thank you. Snap raised $3.4 billion in its initial public offering, pricing the shares above the marketed range. With more, here's Bloomberg's Catherine Cowdery.
Snap, the parent company of Snapchat, sold 200 million shares for $17 each. The price gives the company a market value of about $20 billion. David Kirkpatrick at Techonomy Media calls it a nosebleed valuation with a nosebleed's worth of demand.
I think there's a huge amount of people who really just want to get in on the hot new thing, who see this as the first opportunity of its type in a number of years.
Snap is the first technology company to go public in the U.S. so far this year. And it's the biggest social media listing since Twitter more than 3 years ago. Catherine Cowdery, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Catherine. And Snap starts trading today on the New York Stock Exchange under the symbol, wait for it, SNAP.
Oil is mired in its longest losing streak in 2 months as record-high U.S. crude stockpiles were seen jeopardizing OPEC's efforts to drain a global surplus. Futures in New York slipping for a third day after U.S. stockpiles expanded by 1.5 million barrels last week, and Saudi Arabia's crude shipments fell last month, indicating OPEC's top producer is continuing to cut supplies by more than it pledged. Checking oil now, West Texas Intermediate down 0.9% or 49 cents to $53.35 a barrel. Brent down 0.9% or 50 cents to $55.86.
ExxonMobil's new CEO is shifting investments to quick-earning shale oil. Darren Woods is trading in long-term projects that pump oil over decades for U.S. shale drilling that can be switched on and off as crude prices change. Exxon is diverting about one-third of its drilling budget this year to shale finds.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 2. NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany's down 0.1%. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.45%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street. Some lawmakers are not happy with Attorney General Sessions. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Nathan Hager now with the latest. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, it's because of a question that came up during Sessions' confirmation hearings to be Attorney General.
I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians.
But now the Justice Department is confirming reports that Sessions did meet twice with Russia's ambassador during Donald Trump's presidential campaign. And that has congressional Democrats calling on him either to recuse himself from investigations into Russian links to the campaign or to resign. Elijah Cummings is the ranking member on the House Oversight Committee.
A lie is a lie is a lie, period. And so some kind of way we got to come to grips with that. I can't imagine as a lawyer, and I've practiced over 30-some years, I can't imagine Attorney General Sessions being involved in this investigation at all.
Now, a spokeswoman says Sessions had 25 conversations with foreign ambassadors last year as a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. She says he was asked about contacts between Russia and the campaign, not about Sessions' meetings with Russia as a senator. Just 52 days before French voters choose their next president, a fresh poll shows independent Emmanuel Macron just 1 point from National Front leader Marine Le Pen. Bloomberg's Caroline Conan reports from our Paris bureau.
Emmanuel Macron is still the favorite to beat Marine Le Pen in the runoff of these elections. On Thursday late morning, Emmanuel Macron will be presenting the details of his program, a highly expected moment given all the criticism that he's been facing about the fact that he didn't have a clear program yet. Caroline Conan, Bloomberg News, Paris.
And in fact, that moment is happening as we speak. Among the bullet points of that manifesto, Macron is promising to keep the retirement age in France where it is, to cut payroll taxes, and to defend the European single market in Brexit talks. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Nathan, much appreciated. And at 5:09 on Wall Street, your Bloomberg NBC Sports update now. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Great day for the Knicks on the road as they picked up ground on the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed as they kept their playoff hopes alive with a 101-90 win in Orlando. Four starters scored in double figures, which Coach Jeff Hornacek said made for a great team effort.
I thought we were able to spread it out a little bit more. Derek was able to get to the basket pretty easily when we got him in pick and rolls with KP. So it puts a lot of pressure on the other team to, you know, do something. If you're going to stay back, then KP will make the threes. And you know, I was proud of the guys tonight because, I mean, you take a look at we only shot 42%, but still able to win the game.
Kristaps Porzingis led the Knicks with 20. Carmelo Anthony had 17. New York is four out of the playoffs with 21 to play. Nets also won on the road 109-100, their 10th win of the season, winning in Sacramento. NFL Combine start Friday in Indianapolis. Giants coach Ben McAdoo was asked about his interest in the embattled free agent star running back Adrian Peterson.
You know what? I don't. We'll go take a look at him. We'll evaluate him. We'll get a grade on anyone who's available, and we'll make those decisions, you know, in terms of what's best for the Giants moving forward.
The ex-Viking star has missed considerable time with injuries and league suspension for child abuse allegations. The combine runs through the weekend. And although it may not feel like golf weather outside, one of the most significant overhauls in history was drafted on Wednesday. The Royal and Ancient Golf Club, along with the USGA, released a draft which would reduce the number of rules from 34 to 24 to make it easier to play and understand. Among them is the elimination of a one-stroke penalty for grounding your club in a bunker. And college basketball, number 8, Louisville, upset by Wake Forest. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you very much, Rob Buschka. And in other sports news, they keep kicking the football higher. We're talking the NFL salary cap. It will be $167 million per team this year, which is up more than $12 million over last year. In fact, it's the fourth consecutive year the cap has risen at least $10 million. Player benefits also are included under the labor agreement reached to end the 2011 lockout. That comes to $37 million per team, bringing the players' total compensation package to over $200 million per club for the first time. S&P futures currently down 3 points. That is a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury yields 2.4599. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Bentley University. What do rebooting America's oldest ski shop and crunching numbers at Vistaprint have in common? An MBA from Bentley University that prepares graduates to innovate and lead. Because business is everywhere. Prepare here.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning after stocks rose to records yesterday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average ending the session above 21,000 for the first time. The dollar is extending gains as hawkish signals from the Federal Reserve continue to pile up, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures now up 6. NASDAQ futures down 1.5. The DAX in Germany little changed. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.45%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.28%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 51 cents to $53.32 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6.10 to $12.43.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.0524. The yen, 114.24. And today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 9:45, it's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. And Kroger is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Karen. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is among the Democrats calling on Jeff Sessions to resign as Attorney General. Now, the Justice Department's acknowledged he did meet with Russia's ambassador twice last year. During confirmation hearings, Sessions said he had no contacts with the Russians, but Sessions says he meant as a Trump campaign surrogate, not as a member of the Senate. Today, President Trump hopes to kickstart his plans for $1 trillion in infrastructure spending. His economic chief, Gary Cohn, will lead a meeting of at least 15 federal agencies that'll target new and existing projects and come up with ideas on how to pay for them. In sports, the Knicks beat the Magic, the Nets over the Kings, Celtics top the Cavaliers, Wizards defeat the Raptors, Boston College falls to number 19 Notre Dame in college basketball. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Nathan, thank you. As we mentioned a moment ago, it seems the Fed speak is becoming more and more convincing with each passing day. The Fed funds futures market currently pricing in an 86% chance of a March rate hike after the usually skeptical Fed Governor Lyle Brainard spoke optimistically about the U.S. economy and suggested the time for a rate hike is drawing near. Perhaps Vassilios Giannakis can bring us some perspective on this. He's UK-based head of global FX strategy for UniCredit Bank and joins us now on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Good morning and welcome. The dollar also seemed to rally on what Brainard had to say. What's your educated crystal ball reading, if you will, on this rate hike? Is it closer than everybody seemed to think not so long ago?
I think it's definitely becoming a real possibility right now, especially on the back of comments of Dudley and Brainard, which have more often than not towards the dovish side. So there must be a reason behind it, in that the Fed wants to prepare the market for the possibility of a rate hike in March. I think what this means for the FX market is that over the, in the run-up to the FOMC meeting, we're going to see probably some dollar strength on the back of higher nominal rates. From a medium to long-term perspective, I'm still not convinced that two or three rate hikes are going to make such a big difference for the dollar, a currency which has already diverged quite significantly from real rates. So I think over the next couple of weeks we see some support on the dollar, but if my central scenario plays out, I'm still bearish over the long term.
And what would a rising dollar mean to, say, emerging market currencies?
I think it's it definitely has to do with the extent of the rise. So I think that we need to put a number of things in perspective. First of all, and I think for me the most important thing, which incidentally has been for me the biggest driver for the rise in equities, we are in a period of a significant global growth upswing. We can see that in the PMIs, which the vast majority of which have surprised on the upside. And that tells me that this paints a rather favorable background for global trade and therefore for emerging markets. So as long as U.S. real rates remain well-behaved, i.e. we don't see a significant surge from here, and as long as these tactical rally in the dollar remain somewhat contained, I think we see some pressure in emerging market currencies over the next 2 or 3 weeks, but I still remain constructive, especially for the good EM, i.e. those that are not externally imbalanced and those that don't depend a lot on commodity inputs.
We've seen the yen weaken. What's the next main level for dollar yen?
I think 115 to 116 is probably the area that people are looking at. I think it's yen is probably one of the first and best, let me call it like this, victims of this dollar rally. There is a market infatuation, let me put it this way, that when the dollar goes higher, the investors should be buying dollar yen. My main point is this. If the Fed continues with their assessment of a gradual hiking cycle, I think March or June makes little difference from a medium-term perspective. Therefore, I think 115 to 116 for dollar yen is probably an area at which investors would like to consider returning short in dollar yen. If we get a drop in the reference for a gradual hiking cycle, then that's it's a game changer. We could see dollar yen go to 120.
And are we about to see the calm around the yuan put to the test?
I think as far as the renminbi is concerned, medium term, I still see dollar China and euro China going higher from here, and that's largely a call on the structural trend in outflows. I think it's very possible that in the short term we're going to see some increased volatility on the back of this increased dollar strength. But on the whole, my best bet for this year is that dollar China and euro China are going to grind higher, but at a pace slower than last year, largely because of the fact that China wants to rein in to outflows. As far as the U.S. is concerned, I think it's unlikely that the U.S. are going to name China as a currency manipulator, largely because if you look at what China has been doing recently.
Vasilios Giannakis is UK-based head of global FX strategy for UniCredit Bank. Thank you very much for joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. S&P futures this morning down by 2 points, less than a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices down by 1/32nd, the yield at 2.4563, the 2-year yield at 1.2804.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The global stock rally has spilled over to Asia. Tokyo shares jumped to the highest since December of 2015. Stocks in Australia rallied 1.3%. That's the most since November.
Meantime, S&P futures are a little changed after the index rose 1.4% yesterday. The Dow closed above 21,000 for the first time, capping a 35-day run between 1,000-point milestones that matches the fastest on record.
The dollar is extending gains as Lael Brainard became the latest Fed official to support the case for an interest rate hike. Brainard, who has played the role of lead dove at the Fed, arguing to keep rates lower for longer, said in a speech it will likely be appropriate soon to remove additional accommodation. Fed funds futures now indicate an 86% chance of a hike this month.
Snap begins trading on the New York Stock Exchange. The maker of the disappearing photo app is going public at a valuation at least twice as expensive as Facebook and four times more costly than Twitter.
People familiar with the matter say Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is losing business from Microsoft, one of the world's largest users of servers. That story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is the latest sign of trouble for the pioneering computer maker as it struggles with the rise of cloud services. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise CEO Meg Whitman said last week her company saw, quote, significantly lower demand for servers from a Tier 1 service provider, but without identifying the customer. Tier 1 service providers are typically major cloud and telecom companies. The people say the softer demand came from Microsoft as the software giant pushes for lower prices from hardware providers to help it efficiently expand its public cloud service and keep up with rivals Amazon and Alphabet's Google. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Euro area inflation accelerated at the fastest pace since 2013, providing fresh arguments to those calling for an exit from the European Central Bank's monetary stimulus program. Consumer prices rose 2% in February from a year earlier.
And Roche shares are up more than 5%. Its breast cancer medicine, Bergetta, succeeded in a widely anticipated patient study. Futures this morning are little changed now. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures up 7, and NASDAQ futures are down less than a point. DAX in Germany, little change. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.45%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.28%. And COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $5.90 to $12.44.10 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Jeff Sessions met twice with a top Russian envoy during the Trump campaign. He told lawmakers something else. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager with details now. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Bob. It was during his confirmation hearing to be Attorney General that Jeff Sessions told the Senate Judiciary Committee he did not have communications with the Russians. But now the Justice Department is acknowledging Sessions did meet with Russia's ambassador twice last year. And that does have top Democrats, including House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, calling on Sessions to resign for lying under oath. though not everyone's going that far. Elijah Cummings is the ranking Democrat on the House Oversight Committee.
I think all of us need to take a deep breath. I think Attorney General Sessions ought to at least recuse himself. And then I think we need to look in to figure out, well, if he doesn't remember a meeting with the Russians, then that's a problem, too.
And a statement Sessions says he didn't meet with the Russians to discuss the campaign. His spokesman says he had met with foreign ambassadors dozens of times last year as a senator. In Germany, two Syrians are under arrest after raids in two cities. They are accused of being members of the extremist Nusra Front. One of the suspects, identified as Abdel Fattah H.A., is accused of war crimes and the deaths of 36 Syrian government employees in 2013. The other suspect said to be part of the same combat unit. Russia says it had a constructive meeting with the Syrian opposition in a bid to rescue faltering peace talks. We get more on that this morning from Bloomberg's Henry Mayer.
Russia appears to be making headway as it seeks to salvage peace talks to end 6 years of civil war in Syria. Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Gennady Katilov described as constructive a meeting with Syria's main opposition group. The Syrian opposition says it's hopeful of an agreement on an agenda for the talks. Henry Mayer, Bloomberg Daybreak, Geneva.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is planning a trip to Israel, a gesture of solidarity with acts of anti-Semitism apparently on the rise across the U.S. Cuomo announced the trip yesterday during a speech to Orthodox Jewish students, parents, and teachers. They were advocating at the state capitol in Albany for more funding for religious schools. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Nathan. Now 5:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Offensively, the Knicks found their rhythm in Orlando with a 101-90 win thanks to four starters scoring in double figures.
Throws to the basket, kicks out to Lee. Lee in the left corner. He's in some trouble. Guarded by Ross. Eight to shoot. Now pull-up jumper by Lee. Good! Oh, baby, that was sweet.
Knicks TV on the call. Kristaps Porzingis had 20 to pace New York, followed by Derrick Rose with 19, Carmelo Anthony, who finished with 17. New York's four games out of the playoffs with 21 left to play. The Knicks gained ground on the 6th, 7th, and 8th seed with the win. Nets won just for the third time on the road this season, edging Sacramento 109-100 thanks to 24 from Brook Lopez. NFL Combines begin Friday in Indianapolis, a place for college players to showcase their athleticism and be grilled by the front office. Giants coach Ben McAdoo was asked about his current roster and returners like Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah, you know, it's great to have JPP around. We think highly of him. Obviously, that's the business part of the equation. I try to stay out of that as much as I can. A great part of the team. Someone who made some progress last year, and it'll be good to have him back.
Giants will also evaluate ex-Viking star running back Adrian Peterson. Golf may be the furthest thing from your mind in early March, but the Royal and Ancient Golf Club and USGA proposed a draft Wednesday, reducing the number of rules from 34 to 24 to make it easier to play and understand, including no longer will you be assessed a penalty if your ball accidentally moves. In college hoops, top 25, number 8 Louisville falls at Wake Forest. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. It's now 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for your Tri-State Business Report. And this morning, we've got Bloomberg's John Tucker bringing it to us. Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, Bob. American Express boosting the annual fee for its Platinum card, but will reward users with $200 of free Uber rides. Redesigned in stainless steel, the card will cost new holders $550 starting the end of this month. That's a $100 increase that will take effect for existing users when they renew after September 1st. More than 100 units in the One Manhattan Square project have contracts. The Extel development on the Lower East Side Tower has the second largest number of condos in any single Manhattan building. And in the market crowded with luxury construction, the site will have 700 or so units available. Ray Dalio will step down as interim co-CEO of his Westport, Connecticut-based Bridgewater Associates next month, but remain co-chief investment officer. John Rubenstein will also leave after 10 months as co-CEO. Rubenstein, he's one of the creators of the iPod. Dalio says they mutually agree he's not a cultural fit for the world's largest hedge fund. And that is the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm John Tucker. Bob.
John, thank you very much. Well, Oprah for president, just one of the many subjects brought up by David Rubenstein in the season 2 premiere of his Bloomberg television show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations.
Have you ever thought that given the popularity you have, we haven't broken the glass ceiling yet for women,
that you could actually run for president and actually be elected.
I actually never thought that that was, I never considered the question even a possibility. I just thought, oh.
Right, because it's clear that you don't need government experience to be elected president of the United
States,
right?
I thought, oh, gee, I don't have the experience. I don't know enough. I don't know. And now I'm thinking, oh.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay.
You can watch the entire Oprah Winfrey interview this weekend on Bloomberg Television. The peer-to-peer conversations. Is another media mogul mulling a presidential run? The Hollywood Reporter says Disney CEO Bob Iger has told friends he's considering making a bid for the top office in 2020. As a Democrat, the entertainment newspaper says any political aspirations would be contingent on finding a successor at Disney. Now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on American Express trying to bring back its old membership has its privileges mojo.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting a Florida golf course owned by President Trump plans to appeal a judge's order to refund more than $4.5 million in deposits to former club members.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following a defeat for the UK government in the House of Lords and whether it will change the timeline for Brexit.
I'm Gina Cervetti, watching Ohio-based Abercrombie & Fitch for WTBN in Columbus as the apparel retailer reports earnings this morning.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. I'm reporting how Ford is looking to cut costs in the UK in the aftermath of the Brexit vote.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. This is Daybreak. And coming up, fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news from Bloomberg Gadfly, straight ahead on Bloomberg Radio.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning after stocks rose to records yesterday, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average ending this session above 21,000 for the first time. The dollar extending gains as hawkish signals from the Federal Reserve continue to pile up. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures up 1. NASDAQ futures down 2. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury, little change. Yield 2.45%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.28%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 45 cents to $53.37 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.40 to $12.44.60 an ounce. The euro, $1.0532, the yen, 114.17. And today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time at 9:45. It's the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, and Kroger among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he wasn't trying to mislead the Senate Judiciary Committee when he told them he had no contacts with Russia during Donald Trump's presidential campaign. The Justice Department now says, though, Sessions did meet with Russia's ambassador twice last year. Sessions' spokeswoman says they didn't talk about the campaign, but Democrats are now calling on Sessions either to recuse himself from investigations or to resign outright. About 50 countries are pledging nearly $100 million at an international family planning conference in Brussels. This gathering was organized at short notice after President Trump signed an order withholding funds from international groups that offer abortion services. Sports, Knicks beat the Magic. Nets top the Kings. Celtics defeat the Cavaliers. Wizards over the Raptors. Boston College falls to number 19 Notre Dame in college basketball. And in spring training baseball, Yankees, Nationals, and Orioles are winners. Mets, Red Sox, A's, and Giants lose. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Nathan. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. And how about that Snap IPO? Well, I would expect Gadfly to be a little skeptical. You say it leads the way for other overheated startups.
Indeed. The smart money types carefully looked at a company with slowing user growth, a nascent business model, and a stock that permits zero influence for shareholders, and said, yep, we'll have some of that, Snapchat. Snap, of course, sold its first shares of stock to the public at $17 a share for a market value of about $24 billion. It's an incredible valuation for a company that has only been generating revenue for about 2 years. Now, it's nearly impossible to tell whether buyers will be rewarded handsomely or not for this coin toss bet, but it does... its ability to get a controversial IPO out of the door on the company's own terms does show that investors are willing to roll the dice on fast-growing but unprofitable companies with overheated valuations and some very serious question marks. So, Spotify, are you paying attention? What about Blue Apron, Dropbox or Uber? Because they should be. Snapchat's IPO victory is their gain too. Until Snapchat's IPO, tech companies in the last couple of years that were going public had sought to at least spackle over some of their worst defects, or they avoided IPOs altogether rather than risk being shunned for their lack of profit or other flaws. What is happening now is that people can start looking at this. Snapchat showed no such real deference to profits before it went to pitch its IPO. In the final quarter before its offering, Snapchat burned $1.14 in cash for every dollar it got in revenue. And yet it didn't matter. So unless Snapchat's stock price falls apart in coming months, the ability to get its IPO off the ground should embolden other young, richly valued tech companies with high revenue growth but finances that need some work. People close to Spotify have said they're watching Snapchat for hints about the reception before they decide about what they do with their promising but unprofitable digital music company. Yes, of course, lowering the bar for companies going public will give jitters to any of us with a memory of the dot-com bubble when investors stop caring about profits and ignoring business model red flags. Things like Webvan, of course, happen. But on the other hand, it's healthy for Techland to have an IPO exit path.
Okay, can't resist a lead like this one. This must be Copy Your Competitor Week for corporations.
Yes, this is McDonald's, which yesterday said it would roll out mobile ordering and delivery to all its US locations. It is, in fact, embracing the very same digital tools that Starbucks and Domino's Pizza have both used to grow sales. On Tuesday, of course, Target said it would try and copy Walmart's turnaround playbook. Unlike Target, McDonald's playbook stealing plan might actually work. Here's why. Restaurants are struggling to bring in customers through their doors as frequently as they did in the past. McDonald's has said it lost 500 million visits cumulatively since 2012. Customers now have smartphones and want to get anything they want at a moment's notice. A minute spent waiting for your burger is, of course, an invitation to move over to a competitor. So over the next 5 years, winners in this industry will be determined by their embrace of technology. McDonald's has tried other things to revive its restaurant business, all-day breakfast and the rest of it, but it said it wants to move from turnaround mode to growth, and that means attracting more diners. And this is where digital really comes in. Domino's and Starbucks have shown that this can really change diners' behaviour. Domino's, for instance, brings in half its sales from digital orders, and of course this has had an effect on growth. Sales at .US's Domino's locations rose 13% in the third quarter compared to a 1.2% rise across all North American restaurants. Now, it's hard to believe that McDonald's waited so long for this moment, of course, to bring this, but it actually might not be a bad idea. McDonald's was late to this party. In some cases, it might actually be good to follow the pack.
We don't just want fast food. We want faster food. Thanks, Edward Evans in London. Next time, we'll want faster commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Greg Stuhr discuss a Supreme Court decision to pass a voting district case back down to the lower court that originally ruled on the case, ordering it to consider whether Virginia's Republican lawmakers unconstitutionally drew state legislative districts along racial lines. They speak with Nate Persily, a professor at Stanford University Law School.
Nate, Justice Kennedy, welcome. Justice Kennedy wrote the court's opinion. What specifically did he say the lower court did wrong in upholding these districts?
Well, what he said was that the Voting Rights Act may require the consideration of race, but that sometimes a state can go too far. And he remanded to the lower, the court remanded to the lower court to figure out whether in 11 of these districts, the state nevertheless used race more than is required under the Voting Rights Act. And in particular, what the court had said below is that, look, these districts were relatively square. They were not as misshapen as a kind of your average gerrymandered district. And so therefore, I don't have to think about whether race was the predominant factor in the construction of these districts. And the court said, no. You still have to think about it, even if it doesn't look like they violated traditional districting principles. You have to ask the question whether the reason that they were drawn was to create majority-minority districts.
Nate, is this ruling a victory for Democrats who formed a group, the National Democratic Redistricting Committee, to tackle their disadvantage in gerrymandered districts?
I mean, it is a victory, but it's not a complete victory. I think that they, you know, would have liked the Supreme Court to really decide the issue instead of remanding to the lower courts. And so this case will come right back up to them, and they will have nine justices at that point, and maybe there will be a different outcome. I think right now this is in some ways a kind of placeholder decision, which is giving the district court time to focus on the question as to the role of that race played in the construction of these districts. And the court really didn't wrestle with what is one of the thorniest issues here, which is sort of the collision between provisions of the Voting Rights Act that require the use of race and the provisions of the Constitution that say sometimes you could use race too much in the construction of a district.
That's Nate Persily, a professor at Stanford University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg Law hosts Jim Grasso and Greg Stuhr. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And the Bloomberg Law Brief is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And futures this morning are little change. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 49 cents to $53.34 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.5% or $6.20 to $12.43.80 an ounce. And the euro, $1.0529. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Podisk.
House Republican leaders plan to bring the huge Department of Defense spending bill to the floor next week. The move would counter speculation Congress will need another continuing resolution to fund the government. A bipartisan House bill would eliminate the $4.50 cap on airport passenger facility charges. Lawmakers say it would generate billions of dollars for airport improvements. And the House has passed the Scrub Act, the searching for and cutting regulations that are unnecessarily burdensome act. Its commission would identify regulations for repeal.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.